All right, good morning. Today we'll be discussing persistent congenital syphilis among Hispanic infants despite declining syphilis rates among women in Maricopa County, Arizona, 2004 to 2008. And this was done as part of an investigation in which CDC provided some technical assistance to the Arizona Department of Health Services and Maricopa County Health Department. Now, as many of you know, congenital syphilis can result from the transplacental transmission of treponema pallidum from a mother with untreated or inadequately treated syphilis to her infant during pregnancy. And it can have a wide spectrum of severity, from an asymptomatic presentation at birth to neonatal sepsis and death, or even stillbirth. And the cornerstones of congenital syphilis prevention are, first, primary prevention of syphilis among women, and also prenatal maternal syphilis screening. And the current recommendations are that all pregnant women be screened at their first prenatal care visit, and that high-risk women or women who live in areas of high syphilis morbidity be rescreened at 28 weeks gestation and again at delivery. Now, in Arizona in 2008, 30 cases of congenital syphilis were reported for a rate of 29.3 cases per 100,000 live births. This is the fourth highest rate in the United States. And in addition, Arizona has had persistently high rates of congenital syphilis for the past several years, among the highest in the U.S., despite declines in syphilis among women. And in Arizona, most of the cases of congenital syphilis have been among infants of Hispanic or Latina mothers. And also, most cases were born in Maricopa County. So this was the population and the locality which we focused our work on. The objective that we'll discuss, it was part of a larger investigation, but what I'll focus on here, we're looking for opportunities for strengthening congenital syphilis prevention among women and also among pregnant women with syphilis, with an eye towards the apparent disparities in congenital syphilis among the Hispanic or Latino population. So we reviewed Health Department interview records for all cases of syphilis among women from 2004 to 2008, and we focused on two populations, women with early syphilis, primary, secondary, early latent, which suggests recent infection. And we looked at the risk behaviors of these women. And also we linked these women, when we could, to the data of their male sex partners. And so we looked at the risk behaviors of their male sex partners as well. And we also were interested in pregnant women with early or late syphilis, because we were interested in the prenatal care characteristics of these women and what that could suggest about opportunities for strengthening prevention. So the analysis was cross-sectional. We used SAS version 9.1. And data were stratified by race and ethnicity and among Hispanic or Latina women by U.S. citizenship status. And as opposed to border or non-border, we looked at citizen versus non-citizen. And we aggregated women by different stages, since there were no significant differences when data were stratified by stage of syphilis. Differences in dichotomous data were examined by chi-square Fisher's exact test, and differences in continuous data by the t-test and Wilcoxon-Mann-Whitney test. So I'll describe briefly the sample size of the population that we looked at. From 2004 to 2008, there were 977 women with cases of syphilis that were reported of any stage in Maricopa County. Of these women, 341 had early syphilis, so primary, secondary, or early latent. And we looked at the risk behaviors of these women by race, ethnicity. And of these 341, we were able to link about half, or 172, to at least one reported male sex partner and their data within the county database. And of all women with syphilis, 242 were pregnant at the time of their syphilis diagnosis. And again, we'll look at the prenatal care characteristics of these women. So starting with the women with early syphilis, this is the race ethnicity of these women during this our investigation period. And we see that 43% of the women were Hispanic or Latina, and 35% were white. And in addition, Hispanic women had about 2.5 times the rate of early syphilis as white women. Now, American Indian, Alaskan Native, and Black women had the highest rates of syphilis, but their populations are fewer, and so they're reflected in fewer numbers in this population as well. Now we look at the demographic characteristics of women with early syphilis stratified by race and ethnicity. And we're going to be comparing American Indian, Alaskan Native, and Black and White women two Hispanic women, and the yellow asterisks that you see denote that the differences were statistically significant. So first, we see that Hispanic women, on average, were younger than black and white women. 62% of Hispanic or Latina women with early syphilis were U.S. citizens. And strikingly, 34% of these women with early syphilis who were recently infected were pregnant at the time of their syphilis diagnosis. And this is significantly higher than among the proportion of black and white women. We see that American Indian and Alaskan Native women, 30% were pregnant also, but again, they were fewer in number. And next we look at the risk behaviors among the women with early syphilis by race and ethnicity. And again, this is in comparison among American Indian and black and white women in comparison to Hispanic women. And the yellow asterisks denote a statistical significant difference. So we see that among Hispanic women, despite having recently been infected with syphilis, only 19% reported incarceration, and this is significantly fewer than other groups. 28% of Hispanic women reported drug use, again, significantly lower than other groups. 45% of Hispanic or Latina women reported multiple partners, which we define as having more than one sexual partner during the interview period. And 25% of Hispanic women reported anonymous sex, and 10% reported commercial sex work, or in this case, having received drugs or money for sex. And these proportions are noticeably lower than among black and white women. So despite having early syphilis, it appears that their risk profile is have fewer risk behaviors than women in other racial ethnic categories. And then next we stratify the Hispanic women with early syphilis by U.S. citizenship status. And we see the important differences emerge. So among Hispanic women who are U.S. citizens, their risk profile appears to approximate those of black and white women that we saw previously. However, among Hispanic women who are non-U.S. citizens, we see that very few reported some of the traditional risk behaviors that we associate with syphilis infection. So this raises two issues. One, this is going to have important implications for how we do prevention efforts for this population of women who comprise a fairly large proportion of the Hispanic women with syphilis. And in addition, it raises the question of how these women acquired syphilis given their relative paucity of risk behaviors. So, as I mentioned before, we attempted to link these women to the male sex partners that they had reported during their interviews. And this slide displays a comparison of the risk behaviors of Hispanic non-citizen women with early syphilis who were able to link to a partner and the reported risk behaviors of their male partners. So on the left are the risk behaviors reported by the women, and on the right are the risk behaviors reported by the men. So on the left, we see that very few Hispanic non-citizen women with early syphilis reported risk behaviors, 13%, 16%, 3%. And on the left, on the right, however, we see that high proportions of the male partners of these women reported drug use, 48%, 64% reported anonymous sex, 17% reported commercial sex work, in this case, having given drugs or money for sex. So we see a marked discordancy between these two groups. Now, this is not to suggest that these men have higher risk behaviors than other men. When we did a similar comparison with other racial ethnic groups, the men in those groups had similar proportions of risk behaviors, but really the discordancy is what is most striking in this pattern. And lastly, we'll turn to the pregnant women with any stage of syphilis to look at behaviors. Okay, we see that 66% were Hispanic, and 64% were non-U.S. citizens, and 36% were U.S. citizens. And this is looking at prenatal care characteristics of pregnant women with syphilis by race ethnicity. We see that 17% of all women did not receive any prenatal care, at least by report, but there were no significant differences by race or ethnicity in this measure. 62% were first screened for syphilis in their first or second trimester, and nearly 40% not till their third trimester or delivery, but there were no significant differences in comparison to Hispanic women. Of all women, they were treated for syphilis at a median of 24 weeks gestation, but again, with no significant differences. And 32% of all pregnant women with syphilis. Okay. Is the microphone on? Okay. 32% of all pregnant women with syphilis delivered an infant with congenital syphilis. But again, there were no significant differences by race or ethnicity. And this was surprising because we had expected to find disparities in access to prenatal care among citizens and non-citizens, but we found, among Hispanic women and other groups, but that didn't appear to bear out in the data. Among Hispanic women, limitations of our analysis include the potential underestimation of risk behaviors, including if women didn't want to disclose risk behaviors. And additionally, there was a potential overestimation of pregnancy among Hispanic women if they only sought care and were screened when they were pregnant. We had limited data on some measures of prenatal care quality, such as the timing and the number of prenatal care visits, for which there may have been important differences. And we had limited generalizability to other areas, given the geographic focus of our investigation. So in summary, we found that few Hispanic non-citizen women reported risk behaviors, despite having been relatively recently infected with syphilis. And this has important implications for how we do prevention, because some of our traditional prevention strategies may not be relevant for this population, such as jail-based screening, or promotion of condom use, or promotion of reduction of sex partners. And in addition, we found that the main factor for risk was sex with their primary and only male partner. In addition, we found high levels of pregnancy among Hispanic women with syphilis, no clear disparity in early prenatal care, and we found that many pregnant women with syphilis did not receive early prenatal care. So several recommendations emerged from this work. We should think about how to develop innovative syphilis prevention strategies for Hispanic non-citizen women, for which some of our traditional strategies may not be appropriate. We should advocate for increased access to early prenatal care for all pregnant women, and we should encourage clinicians to routinely screen for syphilis among pregnant women and rescreen at 28 weeks, and not screen simply based on perception of risk and risk behaviors of the women. In addition, we should continue to build partnership with prenatal care providers, community organizations, and churches, and continue work to identify barriers to early prenatal care and early treatment. And I want to thank my collaborators who are very helpful and essential in this work. Thank you. Any questions? Yes?
I guess the only question that I have is, I've worked for the space and I've the congenital desk almost every day. I've been in. The question that I have, are those true confirmed cases of congenital syphilis? How do you define that?
These were cases as defined by the case definition. So the vast majority of cases reported nationally are presumed cases. And I suspect that's the same in Arizona. I believe about two-thirds or so were asymptomatic. And so a lot of these women were defined based on the prenatal care characteristics of the and the treatment of the mother. Yes?
Thank you. That's great information comparison. At the closing, you noted the importance of the rescreening at 28 weeks. Is that an administrative code or regulatory requirement in Arizona at the moment?
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah. The question was about, I believe, whether rescreening at the third trimester and delivery, whether it's an administrative regulation in Arizona. There is a board order in Maricopa County, so there's nothing statewide. In Maricopa County, there's a board order, recommendation that all clinicians screen women, but it's not binding. There is some discussion about whether to put in some legislative language that is stronger, sort of a requirement to rescreen a woman at third trimester and at delivery. But that's really a sort of a county level thing.
Okay. So, time for one more question?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I just think we got the data from the male partners. Is that from
Yeah. Now, this was reported by the male partners themselves, and I didn't delve into it for time restraints, but what we did was, if there was, when women had a reported male sex partner, we searched the database for that name of that male, and the men were going to be in this database if they had been diagnosed with syphilis also. So in a sense, found, diagnosed, and also interviewed. So then we linked those partners' data to the women. So this is really based on the men's report themselves. Yes?
Can I just add to that question? Does that imply that not all women who had a congenital syphilis case association actually had an interview process and all their partners identified?
All of those women were interviewed, but they may not have had a reported partner who was in the database.
So thank you, Dr. Kirkcaldy, for another good presentation. And it's my pleasure to introduce Dr. Grace Alfonsi from the Denver Public Health Department.